introduce myself a little bit. My name is Judah Kerbel. I'm starting my second year at Yeshiva University's rabbinical school. This past year, we were learning Masechet Ketubot, Masechet Ketubot is actually known as Shas Katan, the mini Shas, because it has all sorts of different topics in it, including stuff about Tzedakah. So we were doing this in Tzedakah and Shiur. This whole topic came up, and we spent a little bit of time on it. So a lot of what I'm saying is reflective of the Torah of my teacher, Rabbi Aaron Kahn. But anything, of course, that I mess up is my mistake and probably not his. So I just want to start with those quick notes of introduction. So Tzedakah. So the source that we use for Tzedakah comes from my Bar Mitzvah Parsha, Parshat Re'eh, which we'll read in a couple of weeks. I didn't put the psukim. I realized I should have put the psukim on the sheet, but I didn't, so I'll just read them quickly and translate them. This is in Sefer Dvarim, the 15th chapter. Ki yevachav yom me'achad achacha be'achad sharecha be'arzecha she'er Hashem lokech notin lach lo ta'emetz levavcha v'lo tikpotze yadcha me'achicha ha'vion ki patoach tivtach ad yadcha lo v'aveit havitenu de machzoro asher yichsar lo. Hishamer lecha p'niyat dvarim levavcha b'ya'al imor karva shnat ha'shava shnat ha'shmita ורעה אינך באחיך אביון ולא תיתן לו, וקרא לך אל השם ביבך חית. נתון תיתן לו, ולא יירא לבבך בתחלו, כי בגלל הדבר הזה יברכך השם לקחך, וכל מעשיך וכל משלח ידך. So, translate that. If there shall be a destitute person among you, any of your brethren in any of your cities in your land, the Hashem that your God gives you, you shall not harden your heart or close your hand against your destitute brother. Rather, you shall open your hand to him, you shall lend him his requirement, whatever is lacking to him. Beware lest there be a lawless thought in your heart, saying, the seventh year approaches, or remission year, and you will look malevolently upon your destitute brother and refuse to give him. Then he may appeal against you to Hashem, and it will be a sin upon you. You shall surely give him, and let your heart not feel bad when you give him, for in return for this matter, Hashem your God will bless you in all your deeds and in every undertaking. Okay, so actually these psukim, one might argue, really has to do with loaning, and the fact that, you know, according to Torah law, not applicable now, but according to Torah law, any loans would be canceled on the seventh year. So you might not want to, you know, lend when the Shemitah year is coming up, because you know he's not gonna have to pay you back. But the Torah is saying that you should help this poor person. So this might really more have to do with, if you look at the pshat of the Pshuto Shel Mikra, this might have more to do with lending. But we use this still as a source for the laws of Tzedakah. And of course, the reason for tzedakah very much has to do with the mitzvah itself and the laws of tzedakah. So it's not that you have a law to give to poor people, but the whole attitude is separate. It's very much in all hilchot tzedakah, the whole thing is intertwined. That you're giving this money specifically for poor people, and that informs the decisions you make in giving tzedakah and the attitude that you're supposed to have. And in fact, you know, while in some mitzvahs, you know, your attitude in doing the mitzvah might not necessarily be that important. Here, right, having these hard feelings, like there's no escaping that there's a very specific attitude, positive attitude, we're supposed to have in giving tzedakah. Okay, so of course, one question one might fairly ask is, how much tzedakah is one supposed to give, and how often? Because that's not so much explained in the Torah, so that's when we get to the Gemara Masechet Ketubot, which is the first source. Okay, so in the Gemara Ketubot 50a, Amar Rab Ilaab Usha Hitkinu and Usha they enacted Hamivazbeis Al Yivazbeis Yoter Michomesh. Okay, so first of all, does anybody know what the word Mivazbeis would mean in modern Hebrew? Waste. So it's obviously not what it means here, unless we're talking about, I guess, you know, if you're going to a casino, you shouldn't waste more than a fifth of your assets every year, which is probably still a smart idea anyway, but not what we're talking about. There's still a couple questions to ask. Okay, so mevazbeis means to spend. So, first of all, spending, this line in the Gemara doesn't tell us what we're spending on. It just says, don't spend more than a fifth of the year. So, what am I spending on? Am I not spending on shopping? Am I not spending on mitzvahs? Am I not spending on something else? And then chomesh, a fifth of what? So I mean, assuming means to some extent your assets, but we might wonder if it's your fifth of your total assets or your income of each year, and also how often Again, still we don't know how much, how often, you know, this applies at, you know, how when does this reset that you can give more than a fifth. But this is also, this is an enactment that comes later on, so that's going to be important to note for later. Okay, so that's just a little bit, you know, just some opening questions on this. And then the Gemara continues, Tanya Nami Hachi, Amin Vazbez, Ari Vazbez, Yotei Mechomesh, Shema Yistarech L'Riyot. So we have another Baraita that sort of confirms this enactment that one should not spend more than a fifth, lest you become dependent on other people, right? So you don't want to spend more than a fifth because otherwise then you yourself will be needing some of this stuck on. So I guess let's skip to Rashi very quickly. Right, so Rashi says that Hamavazbez is talking about La'anim. So we'll see later another possibility of what we're spending on, but Rashi says that we mean here spending on staka. Okay, and then Mechomesh is Shibinachas of Shoyitzarach, right? So you're not supposed to spend more than a fifth of your assets. So Rashi, you know, based on this Gemara says, right, so that you won't have to become dependent on other people. And okay, so go back to the Gemara on the third line in the Hebrew. Right, so there's one person who wanted to spend more than the fifth, and people didn't let him. And who was this person? Rabbi Yeshevav. So then we have another understanding of this incident. Rabbi Akiva. So there's another version that... So the first version was that Rabbi Yeshevav was the one who didn't let someone spend more than fifth, and then another version is that Rabbi Yeshevav was the one who wanted to spend, but Rabbi Akiva wouldn't let him. Okay, so we have a takana and another baraita, and then an incident to back up this sort of idea that spending a fifth is not a good thing. Amar Rav Nachman, Beitema Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Maikra. What's the source of this? How do we know that I'm always supposed to spend a fifth? And we want to know from the Torah, as opposed to perhaps just, you know, it being common sense that you shouldn't spend, you know, too much money on staka, otherwise you'll become dependent on other people. But we have a source, and that source is V'chor Ashi Titenli Aser Aser Nulach. Right? The translation here is, all that you will give me, I shall teeth it to you. Does anybody know where this verse comes from?
Yaakov,
right? In Parsha Vayetze, when God tries to reassure Yaakov as he's leaving his family and he's on his journey to Haran, so God reassures him, and then Yaakov says, everything I'll give you, I will give you, I will teeth to you. But from the repetition of Aser Asrenu, it sounds like it's two teeth, so really that's 20%. So then Gemara has a question. So if I have $100 that I make every year, just to keep the number simple, so I spend a tenth, and then I'm down to $90. But then if I'm spending a tenth of $90, then really I'm only spending, then it's 19%, not 20%. So Amaravashi Asrenu Levatra Kikama. So we mean the two teeth are supposed to be the same, 10%, 10%, so that's a total 20% every year. Okay? Right, and that's what Rashi says. Asrenu Shnei Sirin Havalu Chomash. Okay, fine. So I asked before, right, so we know now that you're not supposed to spend more than 20% of your assets every year on staka. So Tosfot
is what? It's not obvious from the...
It's not, exactly.
So it's income or assets.
Okay, so that's a great segue into Tosfot. So Tosfot explains exactly what we're trying to understand here, because it's not obvious. Ayivazbez yoter mechomesh, mefarish b'Yerushalmi, sheparm b'shona yachol levazbez chomesh, u'mikam be'elach v'chol shanav shana yitim chomesh ha'revach. So the Talmud Yerushalmi has... there's a Gemara in the Yerushalmi that says that the first time you spend... a chomesh, right? So, you know, let's just say I become bar mitzvah, and for my bar mitzvah, let's just say I have very generous friend, you know, family friends, so I get, you know, 5,000 or 10,000. So you give, so you take a total of 20% from that amount, and then every subsequent year, you take 20% from your income. So you're not looking at your total assets every year, but you're looking at, you know, so if I make, you know, let's just say, hopefully, you know, later in life, you know, I'll be lucky if I make $100,000. So I'm not looking at my total assets. I'm taking always 20% of $100,000. Yeah.
I don't think in the Kante, it doesn't seem clear with the Pasuk at all. What Tosa is saying, because the Pasuk is talking clearly about the future. In other words, it's saying, Yaakov is telling God, you promised me all this stuff you're going to give me, so whatever you give me, I'll give you a tenth of it. But that, how does that have anything to do with his current assets? Yaakov is clearly not talking about his current assets in the Pasuk.
He had a lot of money at that point.
Right, and he didn't, and he's clearly
When he was leaving Haran, because he made a lot of his money with Yaakov, no?
With
Lavan, sorry.
Right,
this is before Levon.
At the point in which he said that,
so,
he was like walking on the roof with his stick in his bag.
So then assets and income.
He's got nothing.
Anyway, I think it's a fair question. I'm not 100%.
So it's based off of Yerushalmi.
Yeah, so first of all, it's based off of Yerushalmi, so Yerushalmi might not have had this Aseres HaNuach, and, you know, could be, you know, okay, fine, so it doesn't really fit with the Pasuk, but it sounds like this is more of a later justification from the Torah of what it was. So it's not like we're deriving all the dinim from Aseres HaNuach. It sounds like it's just sort of like a way of basing ourselves on. And so Halacha L'maaseh Tosfot says, you know, we do what we do, which seems to make a little sense.
Well, we do, but this is an upper limit. Nobody is suggesting that this is the actual.
Sorry, what? That the actual amount, right? So I mean, so I think we'll see later that this 20% is called mitzvah min hamufkar, and so the whole thing, whether or not this is actually an upper limit, is also going to come to a little controversy. So in a little while, I'm going to we're going to see how the Igra Moshe approaches this issue, but I just want to put out here. So if this is, if it's good advice, let's just say it's good advice. Even forget the pasuk, right? So it's good advice probably that you don't want to spend too much money. So let's just say we arbitrarily said 20%. It's good advice that you don't want to spend too much money because otherwise you yourself will be eating tzedakah. So why do I need? Why would I think otherwise that I would want to spend more? Or why do I even need a pasuk to tell me this? Right. So, Rav Moshe Feinstein brings up this question and says that, why would I want to spend more than 20%? Let's put this up to the crowd. Why would I want to spend more than 20% on stock if I might need to become dependent on other people?
Because there was presumably a great crisis at the time.
Okay, so it could be that there's a crisis that people need, or, yeah?
Well, then you maximize the tzedakah money. If you give all your money and take only what you absolutely need to live from tzedakah, you maximize the amount of money in tzedakah.
Okay, fine. Also, that's a good one, yeah?
I'll be more cynical. You want to do it for your own cover. You look like a martyr in the community.
Ramosha doesn't say that one, although I think it's a fairly legitimate. but Ramosha says two things. One, that first of all, you know, you might think it's a midat chasidut, and you know, tzedakah is a good thing. So like, you know, why should I be limited in the amount of good that I can do for other people? But even more importantly, if I cap it at 20, if we were to cap this at 20%. Then we might be depriving poor people of money that they could be getting, so that's why Rav Moshe says that we need a pasuk as opposed to other, you know, as opposed to just deducing this from logic and saying that it makes sense that you shouldn't spend too much money. Rav Moshe says we specifically need a pasuk because otherwise you can make a fair claim that the rabbis were depriving poor people of getting money by capping it at 20%. You're confused.
No, it depends on what your 80% is.
Ah, okay. Well, that's like kind of the big question of the night, to some extent.
If your 80% is really rather large, then it isn't common sense at all.
Right.
Right. If you sell a fabulously successful business you built up and you get $100 million, if you spend more than $20 million on tzedakah, you probably won't need to collect tzedakah yourself.
Yeah. Beautiful. I'm going to spend most of the rest of the night sort of dealing with that point to some extent, whether implicitly or explicitly. But before we get to sort of how the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch deal with this whole din, so we have an incident that seems to run contradiction here. So at the bottom of the page, the Gemara Ketubot 67b, Ki kana nicha nafshei. So this is this I cut and paste from, there's a whole thing about Mar Ukva and some of his practices with staka. So Mar Ukva was dying, Amar, Aituli Chush Ben Adit Staka. So tell me how much, look at my books and see how much money I've spent on staka. Ashkak to have a ti be shivat alfi dinari sinaki. He found written there that he had given 7,000 dinarim of this given currency that I'm not familiar with. Amar, zade klile ve orcha rechikta. So I haven't given that much apparently, and the way is long. AKA, if I want a good olam haba, there's a lot more tzedaka that I have to give. So kam bezbazbe lepal game amone. So he ordered that the rest of that 50% of his money should be given to tzedaka after his death. So how do you do this? Didn't we have this takana that you can't spend more than chomish on tzedaka? So we have a special exception for giving away money on your deathbed that you don't really need the money. Once you're dead, you don't need the money anymore. We're not worried that you're going to become dependent on other people. So give away as much as you want on your deathbed. But while you're living, that's what the takana was for. Of course, this does run into, there's going to be some tensions here with wills and how much and giving Yerusha to your descendants. But assuming that once that's been dealt with properly, that you've given the right amount of money to your descendants, then what? I think it sounds like that he's like ordering this, I'm setting this aside for after I die, and after I die, I give this away. Or maybe it's, even if it, if it was physically given away, being given away that by that life, it didn't seem like he had a very long, long road after that. I don't know. Okay, so let's turn the page. Deal with the Rambam a little bit. So the Rambam has a section in Sefer Zra'im, called Hilchot Matanot Aniyim, Gifts to the Poor. So in this whole section of the Mishneh Torah, he's talking about things like Pei and Shechacha and whatnot, which were gifts to the poor. And then when he comes to chapter 7, he talks about tzedakah. So in the first halacha, dealing with tzedakah, he says Mitzvah Asel Litein Tzedakah L'Aniyim Kifima Shra'ui La'Ani Im Haita Yad Hanotein Maseged. So it's a positive mitzvah to give tzedakah to the poor according to what is fitting for the poor, meaning that your measure of how much you're supposed to give seems to have to do something with how much a poor person needs, if you're able to. Right? And then we have he cites the verse that we read from Re'e, and your brother should live with you, and what else. So there's a whole bunch of good reasons according to the Torah why you should give tzedakah. So that's that. And then he gives a couple of halachot that I'm not going to deal with right now and that I didn't leave here. But then in halacha, hey, he comes and says, so a poor person comes to your door and asks you for his de-machzoro is the term for saying, the amount that he needs, which can be defined in various ways, but he asks for his needs, but you only make a certain income every year, and you can't provide him everything that he needs. So you should give as much as you can, as much as you can up to a certain point. So then the Rambam says v'kama. So how much does one have to give? Ad chamishin nechasav mitzvah mina mufkar. So giving a fifth, 20% of your assets is a mitzvah mina mufkar. So that's the best way of fulfilling the mitzvah. So of course, I grew up learning that 10% is like the same amount for giving tzedakah. So that apparently is just average, but I don't think there's necessarily anything wrong with being average. Doesn't seem to say so. Less than that is bad. It's a little stingy, but he doesn't say it's avera, or because then he says, so like the amount that you actually have to give tzedakah is only a third of a shekel, which is not a whole lot, and it's only if you give less than that you actually didn't fulfill tzedakah. Right, and then he says, lo ki mitzvah. So if you're a poor person and all you have is a third of a shekel to give, then give that, but you're still chayav in tzedakah. Yeah.
Right.
Right.
And secondly, the paradigm from Truma. We have Ayin Yafeh, Ayin Ra'ah, and Beinoni. The amount of Truma you hear. So I'm not quite sure what to make of it. That's clearly what he's saying these terms from, unless there's a Gemara I don't know about, he uses these terms.
It could be, but is there a specific nafkamina that? Yeah.
So you'd have to figure out whether by Truma is the reason you should give Beinoni and what the ramifications of
okay.
the environment are there. But I don't think it's a good thing to give less than 10.
Giving less than 10 is definitely not a good thing. Sounds like giving 10 is okay.
Assets is what he's saying. That's a large amount. Most people do not have 10 assets.
Well, I'm trying to think.
It
says Nechasav. And what do the Gemara...
Well, no, really, actually, if you look at the Perish of Mishnah, it's clear that the Rambam doesn't expect you to actually run into this many people. No, he expects you to have enough money against the poor people you meet. This is like, in the unusual case, we don't have enough money, and I think what he's saying is that that's how I think you get around the fact that there does seem to be a rather large amount of money.
Well, so I mean, we'll get into this, but meaning, so what comes down to Hilchot Tzedakah is that this sort of thing of giving Dei Machzoro seems to really be an obligation on the community or upon a rich person, but not necessarily upon each individual. I'm not going to do that whole lumdus here, but that's what we end up coming out with Halacha L'maisa, especially when we look at the Shulchan. But it seems like both from Rambam and Shulchan Aruch that's the case. Yeah, he does use the words Nechasa, but you can,
but
you know, I don't.
The
I don't.
Idea of assets versus the income, it's sort of putting a modern distinction on Rambam, right? For him, it might be like you give, you know, the Nechasa is your crops from a field. That, you know, you're not selling off a tenth of your field every year. You're selling off a tenth of your produce from the field every year, which is more relatable to income.
Right. Okay, so... Fair point, let's leave it aside for a second. So, what Rambam does not mention here, though, is that he does not mention that it is asur to give more than a fifth of tzedakah, or a fifth to tzedakah. He says mitzvah minimum requires 20%, but he doesn't seem to make any mention here of takanat usha, or any limit here, which is something we're going to have to deal with. But interestingly, what he does say something about a similar concept in Hilchot Arachin, which is the next source. He says, "Alam lo yakdish adam v'lo yachrim kol nechasav, ve'alaseh kein over al dat hakatuv sharehu omer mikol asher lo v'lo kol asher lo, sharehu omer mikol asher lo v'lo kol asher lo, k'mo sheberu chachamim ve'en zo chasidu el ashtut sharehu me'abe komano v'tzarech libriyot." Bein rachamim alav uvazek lechetzebo amru chachamim chasid shotem mikol mevali olam ela kol mevazer mamono b'mitzvot ayif vazer yoter mikolmesh. So Hilchot Arachin, first of all, comes before Hilchot Matanot Aniyim, and here he says that one who spends one who's spending money on mitzvot should not spend more than a fifth.
Mitzvot as a general.
Right, I shouldn't in a given year spend more than a fifth on my tefillin and my kiddush wine and Hanukkah candles and. And it could be the tzedakah is also included in that. Okay. Not going to go there right now. But he has very strong language here, of course, that once destroying the world by spending this much it's a bad thing, and you're supposed to spend from your assets, not all of your assets, on mitzvot. So this is what he says on Arachin. And so we'll... You know, where we're going to struggle with a little bit here is whether or not this halacha in Hilchot Arachin was meant to apply to the halacha in Hilchot Matanot Aniyim. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, and this given tshuva actually was dealing with, there's like a whole bunch of topics. I think it must have been that there must have been a certain Shoel who asked all these questions to Rav Moshe that on all these different topics, and he was replying to them all in one letter. And I think here he was dealing with something related to inheritance, but in the midst of this whole thing, the only part that I really focused on was this whole sort of trying to understand this whole concept of a takana usha. Rav Moshe says the following: Ve'ada katavti shepashut de'av kodem takana usha lo hayachiyuv af lo mimidach chasidu v'tein litzaka ul hekdesh yoter mechomesh mashma kem yoshon harambam perek zayin mitzvot amimaton anayim halacha hey. So before Takana Usha, he says, first of all, there was no obligation to give more than 20%. But then right? But then we have this, and he brings the Rambam's language. V'chatav zeh l'din Torah, sh'arei lo yizkir kan hatakana de'usha. And this is according to the original Torah law, what the Rambam's saying, and he did not mention takana usha. So when he said 20% is mitzvah min ha-mukhar, he was talking about really according to the letter of the law, according to the Torah. V'af sh'masha lo yizkir, hu mishum sh'samach al ha-dekata b'sof hilchot arachin, v'lam lo yakdish adam v'lo yichrim kol nechasav. The reason why the Rambam didn't mention Takanat Usha here is because he already mentioned it in Hilchot Arachin. De la Rambam devein b'halacha aleph shekatav etzem chiyuv mitzvot tzedakah shehu kifi ma shera'ui la'ani im hayta yad hanotein maseget uvein b'halacha hei ba'in be'in yad hanotein maseget katav notein lo kifi asagad yado v'achar ze kama v'katav ad chamishin. So really, right, all the amounts that we're talking about halacha hey really apply to both halacha av and halacha hey. And so what Rav Moshe is explaining is when the Rambam said in halacha hey, where am I? Right, he said
the halacha that you have at the top of the page here.
Yeah, the top of the page, right? When he says, at the beginning of Al-Khay, Baha ni v'shal de machzor ve'en yad hanu ten masegah, no ten lo kifi yasagad yado, period. So then you have the word v'kama, and how much. So Moshe is saying that the word v'kama is applying to both halacha he and halacha aleph. So meaning that both when you're giving everything that, both when you have the ability to give the aniyim everything that they need, and when you don't, in both situations, you don't have to spend more than 20%. Does that make sense? So meaning this 20% is not limited to just a person who doesn't have as much money. It applies both to apparently rich people and people who have more average incomes. V'kaiza al tarvayhu, so this is what he says, v'kaiza al tarvayhu, devin she yad notein masege shav halacha aleph, uvim halacha he be'en yadu masege shatein kifi hasagad yado, shehu rak b'shir chamishin. So that's what I just said. V'din echad lahem, this is one principle for all of them, she'im Chamishin chasav sagi yitain afu asbo kegon kshelika sham or inche elahu levado. So if he's the only person in town and he has and with his 20% he can feed all the poor people in town, then he should do so. But if he's the only person in town and there's more needs for the poor than he's able to give, then he still doesn't have to give more than 20%. So the only difference between halacha av and halacha hey is just simply the amount you have. So if I don't have, so either way, I only have to spend 20%. If I have the means of feeding all the poor people in town and won't go past my limit of 20%, then great, I should do it. I might have an obligation to do it. But if I don't have that amount, right, and there's still more people in town, then I shouldn't have to worry about going over the 20%. You don't have that obligation. Right, so you know, so people of more average incomes, they might be able to help one person or not even one person at all, and they, you know, they don't have that obligation. But if you have a $500,000 income and you're able to, you know, and all the needs of the poor people add up to $100,000, then you're fine. Okay, so that's how Rav Moshe explains the Rambam, right? And so Takana Usha does apply. It's just that he didn't mention it here because he had already mentioned it earlier. Okay, so then the Torah and the Shulchan Aruch. So the Torah says Shiur Netinata Im Yado Maseged Yiten Kafi Tzarachaniim Im Ein Yado Maseged Lekol Tzarachaniim Yiten Kafi Asagad Yado. So he kind of combines halacha aleph and halacha hey of the Rambam and kind of like puts them all sort of in one thing, so you can kind of see the contrast much easier. Kabahu yitain ad chomesh nechasav mitzvah min ha-mubchar v'chad me'asara midah binoni v'chol mikain ayin ra'av v'kamar b'yishami shana b'yishona chomesh me'akern mikan ve'elach chomesh me'arevach v'chol shana l'olam lo yimna adam ed atzmo v'chol mishishi ashak v'oshana. So nothing really new here. Right, he gives us the amounts, which here you can see much more clearly apply to both, you know, if you have the amount to give the tzarech aniyim and if you don't. And then he also brings Tosfot and explaining how this whole allocation works. But then we get to the Shulchan Aruch, and Rav Moshe is going to run into a problem with the Shulchan Aruch. So, and everything here is of course very subtle because a lot of language is similar, but there's a subtle difference that Rav Moshe is going to be a big deal. Shiur Nitinata Im Yadom Masega Yitain Kfi Tzorach Aniyim. Vim Ein Yado Masega Kol Kach Yitain Ad Chomesh Nachasav Mitzvah Min Hamuchar Vecham Yisar Amida Benonit Pachot Mikan Ayin Ra'am. V'Chomesh Zeh Shamru Shana Mishon Me'akeren Mekan Ve'el Chomesh Ha'Revach V'Chol Shana. So first he tells us the amount that you're required to give according to the needs of the poor, and then he says if you don't have enough to give to everyone, you should give up to 20%. So that's a little different than when the Rambam and the Torah said, because the Shulchan Aruch, this 20% seems to be directly a direct response to only if you don't have enough money. Okay, and then the Ramah adds, "Va'ayivazvez adam yoter mechomesh lo yitzarech lebriyot." It's only that the Ramah is the only one who really comes in Hilchos Hakam says you shouldn't spend more than 20%, but the Torah and the Mechaber and the Rambam do not directly mention this in here. Okay, so that's the language of Shulchan Aruch. So Rav Moshe is going to tear this apart a little bit. Avaloshon haMechaber b'Shulchan Aruch shiur nitinatay im yadam asega yitain kfi tzorach aniyim v'im ein yadam asega kol kach yitain ad chomesh min chasav mitzvah min hamufchar. So you cite what I just read to you. Sheishbid badin ein yadam asega haloshon shekatav haRambam noten lo kfi asega yado v'kama v'osif tevo kol kach. So the Mechaber was missing a couple of the words that the Rambam has, namely, the word. I think the biggest word here is v'kama, right? This v'kama, when I read it before, I said that there is sort of this period after it tells you if you don't have enough money, you should give as much as you can. Period, and how much? And that word v'kama can apply to everything, but the way that the Shulchan Aruch phrased it, it seems like it only really applies to if you don't have enough money. And so Rav Moshe is being very sensitive here that the Rambam had extra language that the Shulchan Aruch seemed to leave out. Mashma lichora shesover sheim hu ashir gadol sheaf achar she yitain laniim kol tzarcham yadayin ashir gadol lekabu hu shir chomesh ela tzarich yitain kol tzarchanim afiuk shehem yoter mei chomesh. So that's going back to what you were saying, that if I make $5 million a year and I spend $2 million feeding the poor, I'm not going to starve. I will be quite okay. So the way you read the Shulchan Aruch, it makes it seem like that's me'ikar din. In fact, you might have an obligation if you have that kind of money to spend more than 20%. V'rak im ein yado masega kol kach hanu she'eino ashir gadol bazenem ashir ten ad chomesh nechasav. And only if I only make $50,000 a year, so giving $30,000 away to tzedakah is obviously going to be way too much. So Rav Moshe takes great issue with Shulchan Aruch. How was the Shulchan Aruch able to? I don't know if he's explicitly disagreeing, but he's departing from the Rambam. The Habe Beit Yosef lo hevi cholkin bazeh. I didn't bring in the Beit Yosef, but the Beit Yosef does in fact bring the Lashon of the Rambam and this whole Takana Usha thing, and the Shulchan Aruch doesn't make any mention of it. So this is seemingly very problematic. And Rav Moshe is further surprised that none of the Achronim seem to have any problem with the fact that the Shulchan Aruch deviated both from the language of the Rambam and the Torah. Because I brought you the Torah just to show that the Torah is seeming, even though there's some differences, the Torah in this respect is very similar to the Rambam. So, to me, that's not necessarily such a great surprise, because I think Rav Moshe was doing a very close reading here to come up with that point, but he finds it shocking that he's the only one, you know, before 1950 that seemed to notice that. V'af she'arambam nami lo hiskiro, da'af she'gam belo takana usha katav she'rak chomesh ika mitzvah min amukhar ha'sof sof nogel zel inyan isura. But Rav Moshe feels very strongly, yes, Rambam also didn't mention takana usha by matanot laniyim, but it's clear that he holds that 20%, more than 20% is asur. Shemidina afshaleka chiyu gan lemitzah min amufchar, hu rashai im yirtzeh gan miten yoter michomesh, vitzata kana usha asur midirabanan. So you might, yeah, so, because Rambam was dealing with just what the Torah obligation was, which, where giving more than 20% might not have been a problem, but because of Takana Usha, that's when it became Asur. And he brings the story we had of Mar Ukva's deathbed. So Moshe the whole thing that Takana Usha would be missing should really be surprising everywhere, right? The fact that the Rambam and the Torah and the Mechaber didn't mention only the Ramah brings it up, this should be a problem for everyone, really. Moshe exonerates the Rambam by saying that, well, he brought it earlier, so it's that carried over to Matan Aniyim. But Shulchan Aruch did not mention this anywhere in the Shulchan Aruch. Perhaps the reason why the Shulchan Aruch didn't mention it in terms of not spending more than a fifth on other mitzvot, the way the Rambam did is maybe because the Shulchan Aruch just simply didn't think that someone would do that anyway. But the fact that he doesn't bring it up seems to be very problematic. He thinks it requires further investigation. Yeah, you have a question?
Does this bring down Takanat Usha in his commentary on the...
It's a good question. I don't remember. I don't think I looked at the riff and I...
Because it could be that this is like just a Takanat for one place or like mainly a guy that section.
It could be. I feel like if that were an issue, Ramosha would have brought that in, but yeah, I don't know.
That's a good point.
But it's worth looking at the riff, and I'll look at that later. So that's basically Ramosha. Ramosha says that the Rambam held up Takana Usha, he didn't mention it because it was already mentioned earlier, the Shulchan Aruch didn't hold it. My Rebbe, Rav Khan, disagrees with Rav Moshe and says that the Rambam didn't hold Takana Usha at all, because if the Rambam, or at least not for Tzedakah, because if the Rambam meant it for Tzedakah, he should have said, and the Rambam does this in places, he says, as I already wrote elsewhere, that this applies here. But the fact that the Rambam doesn't mention it anywhere else, Rav Khan thinks should indicate that the Rambam didn't hold by Takana Usha, for Tzedakah. It could be that, you know, I'm not really sure why, though. It would seem like that this Takana should, you know, if it's in the Gemara, I don't know why we wouldn't pass it in that way. But it could be for some of the reasons that we mentioned earlier, namely that, as Rav Moshe said, that the Rambam was just bringing it from, you know, just what the plain Torah obligation is. Or it could be that maybe the Rambam held like, the Rambam, both the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch held like, what we were saying before, that if you're a billionaire and you can give more than 20% and not have to worry for the rest of your life, then why should you be prevented from doing that? And Ramosha himself admitted that limiting one to giving only 20% tzedakah is kind of a big deal, because there are a lot of poor people that could be benefiting from that person's money if that money was being spent on tzedakah.
I guess the difference ways of looking at it is, if you focus on the reason for the takana, is people shouldn't impoverish themselves by giving tzedakah. So if you focus on the reason for it, then someone who's extremely wealthy
right.
Doesn't seem to apply to them at all. Or else, you focus on the takana literally, then it would apply to everybody.
Right. In the Gemara, we had one baraita that said simply, "I'm vaz beis ali vaz beis yotem yichomesh," and then the baraita after that added the words Shem Yitzarach Lebriot. So if you only heard like the first Baraita, so you might think that this applies in all situations. But if you hold by, you know, by the additional Baraita, then you might say, okay, well, the Shem Yitzarach Lebriot doesn't apply in the case of Nashir Gadol. Yeah.
Wait, when was Usha sent to Avoni? It sounds like the lesson of the Gemara, the first one is not a Baraita. It says Tanya
Nami. Yeah, it wasn't Baraita. It wasn't Baraita.
And, okay, so maybe the Rambam is just passing like the Baraita against the Ma'amar, and the Baraita gives a reason. Maybe the Rambam assumes that if you don't have that reason, it's not a problem.
Yeah, so according to Rav Khan, that could very well work. The Ramosha didn't seem to think that the Rambam held that way.
Just the I missed 90% of this year.
Go for it.
So
we have time.
Acknowledging that, so something was said about this, and I was sort of thinking about questioning whether Rambam held from the Kanadusha or not. It's interesting to put that in the context of Rambam Silchot Tzedakah, where he holds that if someone gets poor, then you have to keep them at their level of not just sort of making sure they're sustainable,
right,
but really taking care of them in a very elaborate, luxurious kind of way. If they've fallen from having a lot of money, you have to keep taking care of them on that level that they had before.
Uh-huh.
So Shema Yitzarech Labriyot could be very profound, right?
We're
not letting this rich person give a lot of tzedakah, because if they do, and then we wind up, the whole community is going to have to wind up supporting them.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. So, I mean, that whole thing is very interesting, because the whole thing of, like, right, because the Gemara talks about this, like, you know, you have to keep him on the level of, you know, that he was at before. So the question is, how do we define that? Does that mean that if he owns three houses and a boat and whatnot, they have to give him the three houses and the boat, or does it just mean that he has to live at a certain respectable living standard without necessarily all the additional luxuries that are not necessarily, you know, so public and make or break. But that's a fair point there. I didn't address that, but yeah.
I also want to, even if we hold that there is this upper limit, it seems like at least nowadays it's very easy to walk around, especially for strict and how we define tzedakah, right? So you can only give 20% of your income or assets to Jewish poor people. But I don't think a lot of the charities we give to nowadays are ones that are for Jewish poor people. It might be for, you know, we give to our hillels, we give to our shuls, we give to our learning programs. So, like, there's also, like, other ways of restricting this upper limit in a very, just by how you define stuff.
Yeah.
Right. But then I think we're all... Everybody's me to say that Talmud Torah isn't one of those mitzvot.
Right, because it's no one...
It's giving to the Humane Society a mitzvah.
Right, so
day
school tuition is 2/3 of your income.
Well, it's very easy to if you're counting day school tuition as part of your mindset.
I'm all mixed up. There seems to be a mitzvah to give up to 20% of one's assets.
Yeah, right. I think income might be fine.
Well, if it's assets,
right.
Once you've done it, you're exempt from the mitzvah, because you can't every year give 20% of your assets. Eventually, it's all gone. So therefore, you today could be yotzi in the mitzvah by giving 20% of bupkis, and then you're exempt, and then from now on, you would just be obligated to give income.
Well, that's if we don't hold like Tosfot.
Let's say you have $1,000.
No,
it's
assets.
Remember, you have 200, then the next...
No, there's assets and there's income.
Well, so that's why Tosfot's important here.
No, you might not make more money. You have assets. You can deplete your assets if you give 20% every year.
So if you don't hold like Tosfot, then yes, you have a very big problem, and that would be the case. But Tosfot defined it that way, and who was it? Both the tour. Both the Torah and Shulchan Aruch say that you start with assets the first year, then going after that it's income. So
give it when you make nothing, then you're yotzei in that mitzvah. You're giving your 20% of your assets.
Yeah, but
you're a millionaire.
There's a concept here that's unclear. I mean, I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
Said the first year of what?
I think it's a field. Yeah. I think we're assuming you're at a cultural society. When you get the field, you have 20% of the.
So when you get it, isn't that income that year?
What?
The way I think we've kind of...
Right, so what tax is income?
So state tax.
That is a good point.
So state tax.
How do you...
And then I also wonder in how we apply that in today's world where the government takes 40 to 50% of your income. So are you...
I don't know if that's stuck or...
Are you going to get tzedakah on the net or on your gross? Seriously, I mean, when you start to think about the practical applications today of giving tzedakah based upon a mitzvah laid out in the Gemara, is it? They didn't have income tax in those days. But here, you start with, if you live in New York City, you'll likely wind up with 50% of whatever your gross was.
So luckily, I don't pay taxes yet, and hopefully not too soon. I have to pay some taxes, but really not that much.
Give it time.
So, good. So I never had to deal with that, but That's a fair point, but I think to answer your question, so I think the way Rav Khan explained it to us was that when you're 13, is when you're obligated mitzvot, and if you have money, then you know you got your bar mitzvah money, so that's when your first year starts. But I mean, it could be that maybe the first year that you're independent or something. It's a good question.
Maybe it's capital gains versus
income. Right. I don't know. Okay, so I want to end with, and then we can have more questions after that. Maybe something that's a little more philosophical than it is halachic. I'm not really sure. So from the Tanya, I'm sorry, I don't have translation. My original intent was that I was going to keep it at 4 pages, have it 2 pages double sided. And then it wasn't double-sided, but the main reason why I didn't translate it was simply because I didn't want to waste more paper. sorry, I'm being very honest here. Okay, but so the Tanya says the following also about when spending more than 20% might be okay. So not having to spend more than 20% on tzedaka is a person who's basically fully repented or perfect and does not have any sort of tshuva to do, right? Because what the Tanya explains in another part of the Tanya is that you know, theoretically you should really have to fast for all the problematic sins in your life, but that would be too many fasts, so you give it tzedaka instead, right? So giving 20% only is not applicable here. Val misha tzarich l'taken nafsho adayim pshita delo gar ufot hanefesh mefuot haguf shein kesev nechshav v'chol asher li'ish yiten ba'ad nafsho k'tiv. Right, but of course, you know, your spiritual health is no less important than your physical health. So okay, if you're going to be a little poor, but that means that all of your affairs will be atoned of. So spend as much money as you need on stock up. So first of all, tzedakah and chesed, I actually should have said this earlier. Tzedakah and chesed are very connected, but there's actually ways, you know, chesed, you know, has fewer limits than tzedakah. So chesed, actually, the Gemara in tzedakah says is almost better than tzedakah. But if we see tzedakah as a chesed, so God is someone who does chesed without any bounds. Human beings are a little bit bound in our ability to do chesed and we're not as much as we might try to be. We're not necessarily the most loving, compassionate people, unfortunately. About Kadosh Baruch Hu, Nikra. I think this is Ein Sof. I think this is something a little bit Kabbalistic here. Ulmido Tav Ein Sof, right? Ulmido Tav Ein Sof, Kidichtiv Ki Lo Chal Rachamav. Right? There's no end to Hashem's chesed. There's no end to Hashem's traits in general. His mercy is never consumed. This is Katav Anavi Achar Chorban V'Agalut Chasei Hashem Ki Lo Tamnu. So really, there's two things going on. The one hand, right, we might spend more than 20% on stock up because it will help us atone for our Avodah Zarah. On the other hand, I think a very nice idea that our, to some extent, our chesed is somewhat limited, but giving more than 20% is a way, I guess, of imitatio Dei, of imitating God. And even though, you know, we're never going to compete with God in terms of how much chesed we can do, we should still be sort of striving to have that element of openness to doing good for other people. So that's all I have to say. Are there any more? We have about 5 minutes till mincha, so any more questions? Okay, thank you guys very much for the interactive cheer.